You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Roman Battaglia. The Rogue Community College Foundation Board recently approved an unprecedented $650,000 investment to support RCC programs during a time of significant financial uncertainty for higher education in Oregon. Joining me in the studio to tell us more are my next two guests. Andy Linerud is the chair of the RCC Foundation Board. Welcome to the Exchange, Andy.
Hey, thank you.
And Randy Weber is president of Rogue Community College. Welcome, President Weber.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, gentlemen, you both know the state of higher education is in flux, but RCC is experiencing growth during these tumultuous times. President Weber, how would you describe the challenges facing higher education in Oregon, and how has RCC found a way to successfully navigate these troubled waters?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I'll say is that right now across the state, what we're seeing is that ongoing expenses are exceeding ongoing revenues for a variety of reasons. State support, cost of expenses increasing, whether it's cost of benefits and wages. And so the schools are trying to navigate that without putting it fully on the backs of students with increased tuition and fees. And so, for example, how RCC is navigating this is, you know, over the last four falls, we've grown by 52%, which is triple the state average of 17%. And so in circumstances like that, what you might anticipate is that an organization's really going to be thriving in that kind of an environment. And instead, we're surviving. And we're seeing those schools that are contributing to that more 17% actually having to make cuts. So despite their growth, they're making pretty significant cuts across the board, whereas the cuts that we're having to consider, even with our growth, are a little bit less severe. And you know, we feel very fortunate to have partners with the foundation to help even mitigate that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like that, you know, even though RCC is growing and, you know, this fall was the first time that RCC saw enrollment higher than pre-pandemic levels, you're still struggling to survive because costs are increasing and the state is not providing as much support as, you know, it has in the past.
That is true. So there's this, the overall state numbers is going up. The unique circumstance of RCC, without getting too detailed on it, is that our growth is so fast and unprecedented that we are actually experiencing what we call the growth management cap, meaning all of our reimbursable, what we call FTE, is not being reimbursed from the state because we're exceeding the cap. And so over 20% of what we produce is not reimbursed by the state, and that's kind of tricky. And there's reasons that cap is in place. It's just really hitting us pretty hard right now.
Yeah, that's interesting that RCC is growing so fast that the costs needed to grow that much are not, you know, are exceeding what the state would reimburse you. So it's just difficult to grow that much, that quickly for RCC.
Yep.
Yeah. Where are you seeing the most growth then at RCC?
You know, it started with a really strong rebound after the pandemic with career and technical ed courses, so trade courses, vocational. More recently, we've seen strong rebound with our general ed transfer courses. And, you know, talking to our colleagues at SOU, they're telling us that their transfer numbers are going up and students that they're receiving from RCC. So it's pretty much across the board. And there's a couple different mechanisms that we pull in enrollment to try to grow enrollment at the institution. One is to improve access. Are we getting more students in the door? But then the other is success. You know, are we keeping the students to and through a program longer? And what's really cool right now is that we are achieving both. We are providing more access, and for the students we serve, we're seeing more completers get through the program. And so that's where we're seeing it is student types and the programs started with vocation. We've added nursing cohorts. We have a lot more welding students. Automotive transportation is absolutely full and busting at the seams. But science is a problem. You know, I'll use a quick example here. We know that with about 30 days left prior to the start of the fall term, we're still going to enroll anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 students. And 30 days prior to the start of term this fall, we had 4 seats in science labs open, knowing that we're still going to enroll over 1,000 students. And so we had to get really creative about how to add some more stuff. And so science labs is a significant problem for us because it's an anchor to pretty much any program any student would study.
Yeah, interesting. Andy, tell me about your role as the chair of the RCC Foundation and the foundation's big investment in supporting the college.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I've been on the foundation now over the last 5 or 6 years, and I've had the opportunity to serve as chair the last 2 years, and I work closely with the executive director just on strategic processes, procedures, different needs that the college may have. And yeah, the reason we're here today is that as the foundation and the board, we felt like it was the right thing to do to step up and help the college out during this tough time. And so we were able to gift $650,000. You know, our investments and our resources have grown the last number of years, and so we were in a good spot to be able to gift that. So yeah, 250 of that went for seed money to a new transportation development project that the college is going to be working on, and then 400,000 of that went to essentially a project that through some of these cuts had to be looked at, and so we stepped up and went ahead and took care of that, which was for some technology upgrades in the classrooms for students, just for better learning opportunities.
Yeah. So where exactly is this funding coming from then?
Yeah, it's all from our investments. Yeah, I mean that's essentially where it's coming from. Yeah, it's donations, but it's all unrestricted funds that we had as a board to have access to give to the college. But a high percentage of it came from how well our investments have done in the last number of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just curious if is there any concern then about, you know, this investment not paying off or this impacting long-term stability of the foundation?
No. It's a very small percentage of our total that we do have, and so we felt like it was the right opportunity while we had it to be able to give back to the college, and it's obviously going to go to good use. And you know, the mission of our foundation is to support the college and support the students, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned that this is an unprecedented investment. Has the foundation done gifts like this to RCC in the past, and what for?
We've done a number of different things, ranging from the healthcare building that was put together. We've done things to help out with the Rogue Bowl. We've done things for different campaigns. But yeah, it's something that we regularly do to support the college as best we can, along with, you know, upholding our mission to provide scholarships and whatnot to students.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask. What other roles do the foundation play other than these gifts? It sounds like scholarships. What else is the foundation kind of doing there?
Scholarships would be the name, the big one. We give over $1 million a year in scholarships to students.
My guests are President Randy Weber and the chair of the Rogue Community Foundation, Andy Linnerud. The marketplace is kind of changing rapidly right now with the impact of AI technology and other things. How is RCC helping students keep pace with the rapidly changing industry landscape?
Yeah, that's a perfect example of support that we're receiving from the foundation is to address those issues. And so this support of the $400,000 gift is to improve classroom technology. And we feel our role is to ensure that whatever workforce needs look like in the future, and that's difficult because we continue to say we're training students for jobs that don't even exist yet. So what are the core and essential skills and knowledge that they need to have? How do they learn how to learn? How do they learn to navigate technology? And so what we see is that, you know, historically you might see a community college really saying, okay, how do we really train students for the jobs that are needed in this regional workforce to meet specific regional needs, whereas we see our region now competing in a global economic society. And so if we have manufacturers or industries, you know, if we have healthcare saying we want to bring in unique technology, how do we make sure that the workforce training in the region is there? And so our job is to respond to current need, but also anticipate future so our region can continue to grow jobs that are paying a thriving wage. The college was recently recognized, the only public institution in Oregon to be recognized, what's called an opportunity college by Carnegie classification. And what that really means is that we provide greater access and our students have better earning outcomes than our peers, and there's specific criteria as far as being more accessible than our community or more representative than our community, and our students are earning more than 25% higher than the median wage in the region. So what we see our responsibility being is making sure that we are responsive to regional needs. So we try to work a lot with the region to say, what do you anticipate needing? And then working with industry and the foundation to say, how do we get the resources to make that a reality?
Yeah. Are there any examples of things or, you know, programs that students are learning now that are responsive that you've changed recently to adapt to the industries?
Yeah, so a lot of what we're seeing is simulated learning in particular. And so, like, I'll use, for example, the program we often use because it tends to be a leader in vocational training is healthcare, particularly nursing. So simulated learning in nursing used to be like basically low fidelity mannequins we could do some manipulation with. And then more recently, we have gone to high fidelity mannequins, which might actually be able to give birth and do some other things. But most recently, now we're moving to virtual reality. So if you think about a nurse who's training, you want them to have as realistic of training without actually training on a human experiencing a health situation. And so another example of support through the foundation is we had a very supportive community member who gave us $500,000 to really grow our simulated and virtual learning environment for nursing ed, and that support came through the foundation. But with that, we were able to purchase 15 VR machines for students so they can work in a more simulated environment. You can create situations where maybe they're dealing with a psychiatric patient or a very difficult physician and just scenarios. And then what we find is that what they'll do is they'll have a skill that they don't have it mastered yet. Maybe they're doing well at it but haven't mastered. And they just repeat it over and over in a simulated environment until they reach mastery. And that's something now that we're seeing we're able to provide to students in that program. But, you know, if you think about manufacturing or transportation, we may not be able to get every type of diesel engine in. However, if we can get a simulated AI environment where they can look and pull and move that diesel engine and familiarize themselves with it, they're going to be more prepared when they walk into an employer and say, you know, I've got experience even in a simulated environment working on these types of engines or machinery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting that having these simulations technology is going to help people train for a lot more different aspects of careers rather than, you know, just what's available. I remember I used to be a lifeguard a long time ago, and the only mannequins we had were ones that would, you know, the chest would puff up a little bit when you blew into their mouth. But, you know, I'm curious to see what a mannequin that gives birth looks like and all these other VR stuff. It's really interesting. So, Andy, you're the owner of Express Employment Professionals here in Medford and Grants Pass. What are some of the challenges local businesses have in attracting the right talent here in the Rogue Valley?
Yeah, no, good question, loaded question. But I think that there's, you know, we do have a skills gap, and that's a major challenge when it comes to whether that be skilled trades, professional. It does not matter. You have that skills gap, but that's where, you know, I've been fortunate, and why I give my time back to RCC is because we rely on RCC to partner with a lot of our local employers that we work with to provide skilled workforce and or referrals to RCC for specific classes or education purposes to be able to help upskill some of that workforce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say, you know, skilled gap, is that referring to kind of specific skills? Are we talking about trades or like
all the above? Yeah, it could be. It you see it a lot more so in the CTE side of things, whether that be mechatronics or welding, fabricating, but then also you do see it on the professional side, whether it be accounting, finance, things like that.
So, you know, now this investment from the foundation should kind of help, you know, cover some expenses for RCC and help the, you know, college. But, you know, you mentioned in the press release that state funding gaps could mean a $1.25 million deficit for the college. What else is RCC doing to fill in that gap?
Yeah, so there's a couple different things. The anchor is kind of this support, the $400,000 to offset the cost of a specific project for this budget year. The teams went in and reduced it by a little over $300,000, things from departmental budget that will have an impact on the way they deliver support to students, but it wasn't staffing because as a growing institution, we really have a hard time saying we're gonna literally do more with less people. And so we've already demonstrated the need to have more resources because we have more students. So there's some operational things, programming things that were pulled from there. We have a deferred project from facilities that we've backed off on. So there were a multitude of things, but the main things were one deferred project, one supported project from the foundation, and then departmental budgets.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That's all the time we have. Thank you both. My guests were Rogue Community College President Randy Weber and RCC Foundation Chair Andy Linerud.